It's a wonderful thing that when we have so many out, that we still have so many here. I'm thankful that we've bought our new chairs, and I think there's going to come a day we're going to get most everybody together, and we'll see how all that fits. But thankful for your presence today. The material we're studying today is so important. God is powerful. God blesses us. We need to learn how He works and how He takes care of us. This morning, I want to finish the series on prayer and talk about intercession and how we have the great privilege to pray for others. It's interesting as you look at prayer, and we talked about this in the Bible class as well, is that we can face a time where people stop praying. And generally when that happens, it's because we have things, we have money, we have comfort. We are covered up in the here and now. And again, I'm re-emphasizing what we talked about in class. If we could see things accurately, we would see an enormous need for God. We could be very encouraged because God loves to give. God says, hey, ask me, I will give, I will provide. But we've got to have the vision to see things as they are, to understand who God is, understand who we are. You know, it's interesting in James 2, we oftentimes quote the verse where it talks about faith without works is dead, the demons believe and they confess. To me, as we talk, again, as a sort of reflection of our Bible class, prayer is really one of the great reflections of faith. I can remember in the Old Testament of how a child was promised and the desire to have the angel come back, tell us what we need to do. I can remember when Yvette and I, we were expecting our first child. Certainly I remember after the child was born. Lord, help us. I think parents would see this. There are things that are put in our hands that we don't have the wisdom. We don't have the judgment. We need help. And we need to be praying. And guess what? We need people to pray for us. We need people to be praying for us by name. And I want to talk about that. When we talk about James 2:18, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works. Faith is a very powerful tool in helping us serve God. You know, Jesus told a parable, and he said in Luke 18:1, he said he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. And I'm referring to what we talk about in class as well. In verse 8, Jesus raised this question, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Prayer. Let me tell you about faith. Faith is giving us victory. However bleak it may be, however difficult it may be, however we think things are going, we are on God's side. We will win. There will be great power. And I love people who want to help others. Maybe convert a close loved one. Maybe, you know, instill faith in their children. Maybe want to reach the community. God will answer prayer. And it's not the numbers. It's not the education. It's the faith that brings the answer. It's God's power. We've been talking about, and we're finishing the class today, that we could divide prayer into four categories. We could divide more. I've heard we talk about in class about one way of dividing prayer was acts. Here we've got praise, confession, petition, intercession. We're going to talk about intercession. And as we talk about any element of prayer, we need to understand who God is, what He does. Everything we do is to glorify God. I know I'm doing my class already over. So one writer said this, and I think he's right. Of the four categories, praising God, thanking God for what He's done, making requests with what God can do for us, but the area of intercession might be our weakest area as brethren. And I want to show you this morning, this really is a powerful element. Do we have a list of people we pray for, and do we pray for them by name? I want to show us, brethren, there's power in here. And we may need to be rethinking some things. We may need making some lists. We may need to, I'll say, if nothing else, have a church directory. Go through the names of the church directory. Pray for each person individually by name. I'll show you why we ought to do that. It's interesting as you had a difficulty in the church in Jerusalem in Acts 6, and they solved the problem where the apostle says, look, we got to have some people to wait on tables to take care of those who were in need. And notice the priority of the apostles here. He says, but we give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Again, I'm reflecting on class as well. If you haven't heard the class, it's on tape. There's outlines in the back. But we may have a concept of prayer that is deeply flawed, because we typically have a concept of prayer that is 3 to 5 minutes, kind of like our public prayer. And if the apostles, if they needed 3 to 5 minutes a day to pray, well, how in the world do they need the time to give ourselves continually to prayer? That's only 3 to 5 minutes, right? Well, we found here the apostles spending all kinds of time in prayer as well as preaching. Well, they're spreading the gospel to the whole world. I understand the time spent in preaching, but how about time spent in prayer? I will show you this morning why an apostle spent a lot of time in prayer. We'll give you book, chapter, and verse on that. And so, here's another question. I'll throw this to you. If a faithful man regularly goes to God in prayer, why then would he need others to pray for him? You know, sometimes people say this, well, God knows what I need. Why do I need to pray for him? Well, let me tell you, God wants us to exercise faith. And it does make a difference. Not only if I am praying and I'm praying for the things in my life, but you pray for me and I pray for you. It's just so. So now, I ask this question. I know it's a rhetorical question. Do we need God's help? And I would say, yes, we say that. But I really mean this. Do we really mean it? I'm like you. Things are ordinary. I get up this day, the sun comes up, I got a nice home, I got food to drink, I got things. I'm in pretty good health right now. Things go on. You know, the buses run on time, the mail sometimes runs on time, and other things just happen, very normal-like. And we get kind of used to it, and we become secure. And I don't want you to become worrywarts. This is not what I'm trying to do. Oh, what's going to happen? I want to understand, we need God. Every day we need God. There are critical battles going on every day, and God may be provide for us even in spite of the fact we don't see them. But we need help. Let me show you the apostles. Apostles had very powerful gifts. 2 Corinthians 12:12, truly the signs of the apostles were accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. God told the apostles personally, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Well, okay, they got it made. God's going to take care of them. They got the power. Why do they need to pray? I'm saying that foolishly, okay? Let's talk about Paul. You know what Paul did oftentimes? He asked Christians to pray for him. Now, what? This is an apostle. He knows God. God's revealing his word to him. He's inspired. He prays to God. God will take care of the apostle. Why do I need to pray for an apostle? Well, let's follow that. 2 Corinthians 1:8. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia. Now, listen to this. We think of, and Paul's a strong man, but could you imagine the words given here of the terrible situation he faced? He says that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from such a great death, and who does deliver us, in whom we trust that he still will deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us. Wow. Brethren, you may not be able to be a teacher. Maybe you don't have that skill set, but I think a lot of us do. But pray for those who are teaching. You know, right now I see godly mothers and fathers trying to raise children. You know, my children are out of the home anymore, but I can pray for you in the raising of your children. Every area of battle and fight that we have going ahead, let us be praying, because God answers prayer. And we can get that point. It's a simple point. Listen, let's look at Paul some more. Paul, you want others to pray for you? Look at Philippians 1:19. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Wow. Okay. Paul needed other people's prayer. He needed him to pray him by name. Listen to this. Okay, we're getting ready for evangelism. We're talking about that. Well, who knows what may come in August? We run these ads. We've already had a lot of things happen, and the running of the and putting the and working to do the scripts and making the plans. Listen to Colossians 4. Here, Paul going on his missionary journeys, going on the journeys we read about in the book of Acts. He says, continually, earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Now, notice, meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, and for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Have you ever gotten ready to talk to somebody and you say, Lord, help me to know what to say? Amen. When we start having people come out of the community from different backgrounds, I want to tell you, that's going to be an enormous thing. Like, wow, how do I connect with these people? How do I talk to these people? What do I need to know? How can I get them to trust us? How can we open up them up to the Word of God? How can we get them to trust God? Evangelism is an extremely humbling situation. And we need to be praying for ourselves and for others. And again, Paul made this broad appeal here. He says, brethren, pray for us. Okay? You know, just take whatever category you want here. And let me mention another thing too, brethren. Okay? I want you to be prepared. We're living, again, I sound like the big alarmist, but I'm going to tell you something. We're living in a distinctly different time. These last 2 years, there are certain things about the public side, those who hold the megaphones in our country, has changed. Don't be surprised if we come under attack. Okay? That can go to the glory of God. But notice 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2. It says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may be run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you. Now notice verse 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. In the college environment, you understand you're kind of working amongst difficult environment. You say the wrong thing and the sharks come out. You know, as we try to be evangelistic, as we go into the public arena, you never know what may happen. Again, I don't want us to be alarmed, but I want to tell you how we handle things like that. If something like that handles, God is in control, and those things can actually work out for good. So I want you to know that. If that comes. But notice here Paul says, please pray for my deliverance. You can read the book of Acts and you can see how some Jews got upset and they stirred up trouble. And he was executed a few times and lived from it. He had to flee cities over and over again. You know, I appreciate you loving to see your brethren come back. We got some on trips. We got some who have moved. Here, Paul, and I say Paul, this Hebrew writer, in my first outline, I put down Paul. We don't know it's Paul that wrote the book of Hebrews, but the Hebrew writer. But notice what he's talking about, them being able to see him again. He says, pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I might be restored to you the sooner. You know, we got some folks that are sick. I want us to continue to pray for those that are listed. I don't list everyone, but I know that Mike and Susan are really struggling. Continuing, I talked with Mike last night. They're going to see new doctors. His doctors are working with him to find new doctors. They're really struggling. I'd love to see him back with us. You know, we're talking about illness here. I think there's travel here. But praying for people by name. We have a child being expected. Pray for the good delivery of the child. Pray for those who are raising children, for the establishment of them and growth. We need to pray for everything. And we need to know that God answers prayer. You see, we can't imagine what God can do. We've already talked about that. And the uncertainty and the overwhelming nature of our life ought to help us go to God. Let's suppose, for most of my last 10 years or 15 years, I've lived in a rented house. I didn't really have to do much yard work. Now here I am, in Rutgersville all these trees, and I'm having to learn how to do a chainsaw and then move those big pieces of wood. And could you imagine an 80-year-old woman having kind of yard I do, and let's say some trees fell down, and then her getting out there with a handsaw and trying to move them? I mean, you know, it's like, you know, sometimes we're that way. God says this to us, hey, ask. Ask. Ask for help. Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks it will be opened. Like good neighbors who saw the elderly woman having a need, you know, they probably go out there and help anyway without being asked, you know. But if someone would just ask, sometimes we don't ask. And therefore we don't get help. You know one thing about prayer that we've got to remember, we do not always see. Matter of fact, we almost never directly see the answers to prayer. I know that God answers prayer. And sometimes I'll look at things and I say, I really think God answered prayer in this way, and there's a perhaps there. But we will never see in this lifetime the effects of our prayers. And we just need to remember that. Don't give up. Don't give up. And so, you know, one other thing about intercession is a problem. I want to be very frankly, brethren. If we're self-centered and we're not thinking of others, we're not going to pray for others. And that's something we need to be involved in the lives of others. We need to know what's going on with others. And we will be blessed when we do that. Now, very quickly, the rest of the outline is not going to take long. It's just going to be almost a list. Okay, Apostle Paul. He asked, remember, Apostle said, pray for us, okay? So Paul and the apostles wanted us to pray for them. Now, who did Paul pray for? Did Paul intercede for others? Listen to this. Let's start with churches. He prayed for the Roman church. Romans 1:9, he says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you in my prayers. Church at Rome. Let's keep going. I'm just making a list here. Church at Corinth. He says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which is given to you by Christ Jesus. So he mentioned the church at Corinth always. Okay? How about Philippians? Church at Philippians 1:3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. Whoa. Okay. Church at Colossae. He hadn't even seen them by face. He heard about their conversion. Notice two times he mentions in this letter, we give thanks to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And again in verse 9, same things. We do not cease to pray for you. Are you making a list? You think his prayer is starting to get a little long here? The Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 1:2, he says that we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Again. Now, I don't think he was doing this. Lord, we pray that you'll bless all those we have the obligation to pray for. Now, again, I'm not being critical of public prayers. I understand sometimes we might say that, but I'm going to tell you, this is not just say, hey, Lord, pray for. We're just praying for everybody we ought to. Amen. He was specific. He was asking for specifically for these people. He thought about these people. He cared about these people. Now, these are churches. Now, did he pray for individuals? Well, if he prayed for the churches, he took care of the individuals, right? Then he needed to pray for individuals, right? Well, let's keep looking. Here's the individuals he prayed for. How about Timothy? 2 Timothy 1:3, he says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, and without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. I'll have to admit, there's not many people I can say that about. This is humbling as we look at this book, the Philemon. Here Paul played for Philemon, the one who had the runaway slave that was restored to him. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. How much time did Paul spend on behalf of others? Have you ever prayed for churches? Have you prayed for individuals? Okay, now, why do we not intercede? One of the things about prayer, brethren, God will answer prayer. But I almost rarely will see the results. If I do, it probably won't be immediate. I look back at my children, and I know there's still battles going on with them. But I look back in their lives, and I say, you know, the Lord took our feeble efforts, and He put it in something that's far greater than what we did. The fruit is not easily seen. You know, we need to understand God's promises are true. I like Luke 5:5. Why should we pray? Remember how the disciples, they fished all night? Ever fished all night, caught it, not caught anything? My dad and I sometimes do all night fishing trips. I love that, man. I was remember just being excited. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm here with my dad on the fishing pier, you know. And I'm with him. I mean, that was pretty neat. Now, I have to admit, we normally went home if we got the three. We didn't catch anything. But here, these professionals, they couldn't catch anything. And basically, Jesus says, throw your net on the other side. And you can almost see them like, we've done this all night. Okay. But Simon answered and said, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. And you know the rest of the story. Prayer pays off. Prayer pays off. We don't see as God sees. One day we will see what it pays off. But we need to be praying for another. Why don't we intercede as we ought to? Schedule. Why don't we intercede as we ought to? We're not involved in the lives of one another. We don't know the needs. Why don't we intercede as we ought to? Sometimes we don't see the immediate good. We need to pray. What are the greatest needs of the Lord's church today? We've talked about evangelism already. We looked at this verse. We want the doors to be open. We want greater knowledge. Brethren, let humbling times draw us closer to God's Word. As we grow in prayer, we're going to grow in God's Word because that's where the promises are found. That's where the character of God is found. We need to pray for one another that each other would grow in knowledge. You know what, brethren? I don't mind us being honest about where we are spiritually. If we're not where we need to be, that's okay. Look at it and say, okay, Lord, I'm honest with you, and I can go further. And Paul prayed over and over that people may be filled with the knowledge, that they may grow, that we may grow in our love for one another. Philippians 1:9. Again, I'm just skipping through these verses. But here Paul is praying for other people, specifically for things that are needed. We need leaders in the church. We need people learning to discern, learning to be able to know wisdom. We need strong homes. And so again, the power of prayer. If we were to look in our mirror right now, what do we need? What is the next step in our growth spiritually? Humility is a great first step. Learning how to build our faith is a next step. I would say if we're lacking in prayer, we need to be spending some more time in Scripture. And I'm doing it for us, not out of an obligation, but for us to learn from it, to grow from it. I hope our classes here are edifying. And I want to tell you, we've worked very hard, everybody does here, to have good services. But if this is the only time we're getting into God's Word is when we come here, that's not enough. Find ways to listen to lessons on the phone if you got a busy schedule. Find ways to get into the Word of God and then set aside time for prayer. When people love one another and they love God, they're going to be interceding for one another. I'm going to conclude the series with the material that I presented to you in the Bible class this morning of the potential of what faith in God can do. We talked about a lot of examples of how when a whole army was wiped out, of how it didn't rain for 3.5 years because of one prayer. And I know we've covered this, but let's cover it one more time because I just find this is not man. I tend to get really excited, and I say exciting, you know, big words, and I kind of, oh, but this is God speaking. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. As I look right now at this country, and I may have no judgment or perception at all, but I see some really difficult times immediately ahead for our country. And sometimes, again, I'm a limited man. I'm a man. I'm concerned for the church. But you know one thing I know? Any individual who trusts God and trusts His Word, God will use that person powerfully. If there's a congregation, regardless of its size, that trusts God and His Word, God will use that congregation powerfully. Well, sometimes we get too narrow of a focus on the country or one region of the country. I don't want to tell you, brethren, we should never be in despair. Actually, it's in the difficult times where faith is most seen and most powerful. When everybody else is falling apart, oh no, this guy's falling. And here there are disciples simply focusing on God, trusting God, building on God. God will open doors for us. But you see, we need to be a people of faith. We're not going to do things because of peer pressure of the world or people attacking us or people being angry with us. We're going to do it because we love God. And people will see that. They will see that we're going a different direction from this world and we have a peace that passeth understanding. And there are people that are going to let the clutter go away and they're going to say, I want what you have. There will be a few. And I'm happy for the few. And I pray, Lord, I pray to God, and I pray that you'll pray to God, that we'll have God's power behind us. It'll work. It'll work. I appreciate your attention this morning. I wanted to, I think, make the point briefly, and I think we've gotten that across. And really thankful to have Travis lead us today. I'm glad that he's able to be here in spite of that hurt arm. And very, very good songs led. We want to extend an invitation. If you're not a Christian, we'd love to baptize you into Christ. If you are a Christian, let this invitation stir us to greater faith. We serve a God who always answers prayer and He never fails. Amen. Let us rejoice in that. If you come as we stand and sing.